Thank you to the good folks at Pacifica Radio and KPFA in Berkeley for allowing us to air Flashpoints to the northwestern Oregon, southwestern Washington, up the gorge, down the valley, and streaming over the web. This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:59 a.m. coming up at 11 on the Radio Zine. Features a special town hall meeting about issues related to health, finance, school, housing, and other issues as a result of the Porter Ranch methane gas leak. Once again, we're thanking all the members of the KBOO Foundation for their generous support and inviting everyone else who has not yet become a member of the KBOO Foundation to do so at kboo.fm. Click on Donate Today. Stay tuned for the Radio Zine right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 33rd Real Music Film Festival running through February 8th. Real Music explores the live interplay between sound and image, music, and culture. Saturday, January 16th will be The Theory of Obscurity, a film about the Resnants, released in 2015. Don Hardy's film tells the story of the group's start in rural Louisiana, its artistic awakening in the late 60s, San Francisco, and follows its members to present day, where they are all still actively creating and performing. That's January 16th at 9:30 p.m. at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the films and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the KBOO Artist Support Program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound, whose work will impact the cultural landscape of Portland, and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, and international artists and activists. Applications for the 2016 KBOO Artist in Residence are due February 12th at 5 p.m. More information and application materials are at kboo.fm/AIR2016.
Want to connect KBOO on your smartphone? Now you can with the free KBOO mobile app available for both iPhones and Android devices. With the app, you can listen to KBOO live wherever you are, continuously streaming whether your phone is locked or not. Listen to our latest audio uploads. See when your favorite programs come on with our schedule. Check out our community events calendar. Read our monthly newsletters. Everything is available in one place, including posts from our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube feeds. You don't need an account to see what's going on at KBOO. Have KBOO at your fingertips anywhere you happen to be with our new mobile app. Look up KBOO in iTunes or Google Play to download the free KBOO mobile app. Radio, live transmission.
And now, as promised, here is Radio Zine, featuring special town hall meeting held to deal with issues related to health, finance, school, housing, and other issues as impacted by the Porter Ranch methane gas leak. On your community radio, KBOO Portland.
And there were a group of mayors from the suburbs, all Southern California gas company consumers. And the mayors are all actually getting together in the rest of Los Angeles County and considering litigation to prevent exactly what you're talking about. You know, all the consumers within SoCalGas's service area don't need to be burdened with the cost of fixing this problem. It needs to be borne by the shareholders. The shareholders have invested their capital. The shareholders have attempted to get a return, and that rate of return should not be guaranteed by our governor-appointed California Public Utilities Commission.
That was Bob Bocock, and this is a program by Global Voices for Justice, a nonprofit media organization. I'm Jeannie Kyle. This town hall meeting was held to address the issues of the Porter Ranch methane gas leak. Speakers included Aaron Brockovich, Bob Bocock, Robin Greenwald, and others. Aaron Brockovich is a consumer advocate and legal researcher. She is working with the law firm of Weitz and Luxembourg to seek justice for victims of the Porter Ranch gas leak. Methane is a powerful greenhouse gas that contributes to global warming, and it will account for one quarter of all California's methane emissions in just 1 month. The town hall meeting regarding the Porter Ranch methane gas leak was held in West Hills, California on January 6, 2016.
I want to thank the church for opening up their doors tonight to everybody. And I want to thank Susan Flyer and Jan, who really opened this idea to us. We didn't know about this church, and so they were super instrumental in helping us secure this tonight. So thank you very much. Let me give you a little brief overview of how tonight's going to run. So first and foremost, John Alford is here from Congressman Sherman's office, and he's going to address you first about certainly the events of today, what they've been doing to lead up to today, and some of the ways your congressman can help you with what's happening in your community. We will hear from one of the members of the Porter Ranch community who has just yesterday finally gotten a relocation after 6 weeks of efforts to move. And then Aaron Brockovich is going to address you all, and I know that's one of the people who drives you here the most, and she, as you know, is an inspirational speaker and will be here to answer a lot of your questions as well. And then we have a couple of scientists here, Camille and Bob, who are going to talk a little bit about some of the recent testing we've done and what that means and what more we're looking at and how that's going to develop over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks. And then last but not least, me, probably the most boring part because I'm a lawyer, but I'll go over with you some of the things we're doing in our lawsuits and sort of where I see this lawsuit going over the next several months and longer. So without further ado, John.
Thank you, everybody. So I'll try to be quick. I know we've got a number of people that want to talk tonight. So first, thank you to Weitz and Luxembourg for hosting tonight. Thank you to Aaron Brockovich for being here this evening. About the program, if people are having trouble with federal agencies, we have a constituent service department that is always trying to help them be treated fairly by federal agencies. SoCalGas is not a federal agency, but we want to do our best to make ensure that folks are being treated fairly and are receiving what efforts they're providing right now in order to make them whole. So if you're having trouble being relocated or getting your air filtration systems, please talk to Carolina today or lend me your contact information. We can try to work on your individual remediation in that way. And then I guess I'll talk a little bit about Congressman Sherman's efforts, both in terms of stopping the leak and then ensuring that we don't unsafely store natural gas going forward. Clearly, you've been let down by your federal and state regulators, that this leak was allowed in the first place. So I hasten to say that there are a lot of very good laws that prevent a member of Congress from advocating a particular legal strategy. So I appreciate Weitz and Luxembourg inviting us, and thank you for hosting. Although I would be ethically inappropriate to advocate for any individual legal team, and so uh, And so, you know, certainly don't confuse my my presence as being advocacy for any legal strategy. I'll mention to that, Congressman Sherman is a neighbor of yours. Congressman Sherman lives in the Renaissance portion of Porter Ranch. Congressman Sherman is not as yet retained legal counsel in this, although that's certainly a consideration. And so, you know, I certainly encourage you to investigate the best opportunities in order to make sure that you're made whole. I've also brought along Brian Caforio. Brian is the head of our Citizens Advisory Group, specifically on Aliso Canyon. And so he's been advising us particularly on different ways that both the federal government and the state government can do a better job of storing natural gas. So what do I want to say? In terms of stopping the leak, this is the largest natural gas leak in the history of the United States. Gratefully today, Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency. He's followed suit with what, oh, you're here. He's followed suit with the department, with LA Department of Health, which got to jump on this. We have been courting the EPA's involvement. There was a little bit of jurisdictional pushback. But we did some good research, and the EPA is now involved. They dispatched a couple of folks to do their own federal study, both on expediting the remediation efforts of the leak, but then also asking the question, what can we do to prevent this from happening in the future? I should mention also that this is an area that's split between a couple of congressional districts. Steve Knight, his district actually contains the leak itself, and he as yet has been unwilling in order to court either the EPA's involvement or participate in efforts to try to change the way that we maintain natural gas. If he's your congressmember, I encourage you to reach out to Steve Knight. Right now, if you ask SoCalGas, they'll tell you that the best hope for remediation of the leak is this relief well project that they have, right? So they tried to shove stuff down the leak. You guys, I'm sure, are all experts at this point. We tried seven times to shove solutions down the top of the well, and they've blown back up into the sky. And so the best hope is essentially, according to SoCalGas, in terms of doing this as fast as possible, is this relief well strategy. The relief well would dig down about 8,000 feet into the ground, and then address the cap the well below the current leak. This is exactly the strategy that was used with Deepwater Horizon. They would say that if this is successful, if this first well that we're digging is successful, the earliest this is going to cease the leak is going to be in late February. That's totally unacceptable in the congressman's mind, especially when you note that they've begun digging this project in early December, on December 6th, and they noticed that the well was leaking on October 23rd. So there was a lag time. Now there's more lag time. They would say there may be an opportunity to this gas recapture project, to actually capture the gas at the surface and then to burn it in these plumes, these encapsulated plumes. They've not yet established, they've not yet begun constructing that project. There's no reason to think that that project would remediate the leak faster than the relief well would as yet. Congressman Sherman's been devoting his efforts to a separate strategy, and he's been asking those agencies that have been involved in order to address it in this way, and that's to simply maximize the drawdown of the total facility. So if when the leak was initially discovered, there was about 77 billion cubic feet worth of natural gas inside Aliso Canyon. Now, on the hottest day of the year, on the coldest day of the year, Southern California can burn about 4 billion cubic feet worth of natural gas. But they say on the daily, they can only do it to the maximum, that is between 1 and 1.5 billion cubic feet, because we're not on the hottest or the coldest days. Congressman Sherman would say, well, no, you're limited here. You're claiming that the limitation that you have in terms of how much gas you can pull out of this facility in a given day is simply how much you can pull out and then turn around and sell. How much you can commodify. We're asking that the agencies involved develop a strategy of pulling as much gas out trying to churn that gas into electricity and even ground it out, or just waste the electricity, not to release the gas up into the air, but to get the gas out of the facility. If we could establish a timetable for pulling gas out of the facility that outpaces the relief well effort, then we could get you all back into your homes and you wouldn't have to be smelling this nauseous gas flowing through your neighborhood, through your and the congressman's neighborhood. So Congressman Sherman's efforts in terms of immediate remediation of the well have been focused on maximizing drawdown. So you've heard that the governor's called for a state of emergency. As yet, the state of emergency hasn't called for, it calls for maximum drawdown, but it's maximum drawdown for in terms of their capacity to either store or sell this this energy. They haven't as yet exhausted all opportunities to pull as much gas out as possible. In terms of going forward, storing natural gas, please know that this week the Energy and Commerce Committee, federally speaking, the Energy and Commerce Committee will be having an emergency meeting. It's this week. It's been called for. It's a meeting to discuss specifically the Aliso Canyon leak and the way that we store natural gas. Congressman Sherman would say that the two initial concerns that he has, or at least two things that failed us in terms of Aliso Canyon, were that as of yet, we don't require the deep subsurface safety valves. I'm not talking about the old safety valves. I'm talking about the modern valves that are operated by positive pressure. We as yet do not require this for facilities like that. We absolutely should have had that. If we had that, we could have just flipped off the leak when we discovered that it was leaking. The other one is to require ultrasonic testing. The testing that was done, the annual testing that was done on this, it isn't a test that tells you whether or not the pipe has worn down. It's a test that tells you whether or not you have an existing leak. We do have the capacity to do ultrasonic testing, and the Congressman Sherman will certainly be advocating for this as a priority as we move forward in terms of our storage of natural gas. Furthermore, Congressman Sherman's former chief of staff, who's now been elected to the state assembly, Assemblymember Mike Gatto, he's been recently appointed to the Utilities and Commerce Committee. He's going to be holding a hearing in Porter Ranch. I'm going to say the 21st of this month, knowing that we don't have a location for that yet. We're hoping to host a hearing there. And again, he's going to be looking for changing the way that natural gas storage facilities operate statewide.
So now, Paige Hemmes, I don't want to say your last name wrong. So Paige, I met at our very first meeting. We've been working together ever since, and she asked if she could come tonight and say a few words to you about her relocation experience and a little bit about how she's been dealing with this. She's a resident of Porter Ranch who lives very close to the gas lake. So Paige?
Thank you. Hey guys, I'll make this quick. I know you want to hear the good stuff. You may recognize me from Extreme Makeover Home Edition. I was there for 10 years where we traveled the country building homes for people. I was typically in a pink tool belt. One of the things we said over those 10 years was what is so important at the end of the day is to get a family home, to get them to their sanctuary. So whether it's your kids or, in the case of myself, where I have 5 animals, until I have kids, those are my babies. We should be coming home to a sanctuary, not to a place that is dangerous for us, that is dangerous for our pets, dangerous for our kids. I don't know how many of you have relocated. We relocated last night, finished about midnight, and it was tough. It was tough. I'm in real estate, flipped over 40 properties, did 220 homes when I was on the road with Extreme Makeover. It's the only one I've cried over. It's my life savings, Yeah, I recognize you guys as my neighbors. I live in Renaissance, apparently with Brad. I didn't know that. But at the end of the day, I think we need to come together, raise awareness, and fight together. And I've never been in all those properties, never been in a lawsuit. This is my first one, and I believe that it's very important. We're not only losing our homes right now. I mean, maybe there's a light at the end of the well, at the end of the tunnel, and maybe not. And that's a real possibility, and it scares the crap out of me. And knowing that all my neighbors are here tonight and looking out for each other, I think we need to stand together and make a difference so that this and one of the over 400 similar facilities in the United States is protected and that we are protected. And so I come here as a neighbor and a friend and a proponent of joining forces and making a difference. So thank you. Thank you to Aaron.
Next is Aaron Brockovich.
First of all, everybody, thank you for coming out tonight. For those of you coming from Porter Ranch, I know it was a little bit of a drive, and certainly in this weather. I'm going to stand up and talk. However, Bob, I'm going to bring Bob Bocock up first because he's been talking to one of our experts, and there's some information kind of developing that I think he should come up and share, and then I'll come back up. This is Bob Bocock. He and I have been working together for 20-plus years, dare I say that. But I wanted him to come up and share some information. So thank you.
Hi, thanks, Aaron. And Aaron did take us out of order there, so I wasn't prepared. But my role in this is to answer the scientific questions. Those of you that has questions and concerns about your health, the volumes of gas emitting from the gas leak, we're getting a lot of questions about the water and the drinking water supply. So I wanted to address a few of those things that are very common questions, and then I will be sticking around to answer your direct questions at the end of this meeting. By way of reference, my science background is in drinking water. It's not necessarily in air science, but we've been working on cases together for 20 years, so we have a lot of experience working with the air scientist and the soil scientist. As far as the drinking water supply, it is not being affected directly by the gas leak. The surface water treatment plant that treats the water that serves this area is over in Sylmar. The water comes from Castaic Lake and is treated there. Then it goes into pipes and it's protected all the way to your tap. You are experiencing a different water quality than you've ever experienced before. That's another problem we have with the city of Los Angeles, but it is not related to the gas leak. Traditionally, you received your water from the Owens Valley, snowmelt from Mammoth Mountain. You lost that, or most of that. And certainly in the drought, you lost it all. You're receiving water from Castaic Lake, comes out of the Sacramento Delta. It is very different water. You're not used to it, your pipes aren't used to it. It doesn't taste good. You are having problems with it, but it is not related to the gas leak. The air droplets on your cars, we have tested them. They are coming from the gas leak. They are forcing a brine solution down into the well. When they lose control of it and it comes back up from the well, it is getting mixed in with the gas and it is depositing droplets on your cars, your sidewalks, your yards, your pools. You're seeing them. They're real. They're there. We've tested them. They are full. They're very high in chloride, which is the salt. And we have found the carbon chain that is the fingerprint for this area. So they are Southern California Gas Company's droplets. The other thing that Aaron, I guess, took me out of order for that she wanted you to know about is today and over the last couple days, you're starting to hear about the largest natural gas well leak in the United States. You're hearing the state of California and Southern California Gas Company say it's leaking somewhere between 45,000 and 50,000 kilograms per hour. That's kind of the estimate that they've been giving everybody. Well, we've done actual field measurements and field calculations. Based on the information from the state, the press today was saying California's single largest contribution to global warming is the leaking well. Our estimates that we've taken actual field measurements on have indicated that it can be as much as 3 times greater than what's being reported. Okay? As much as 3 times. It's a very simple calculation to do. You have to do it when the wind is calm. Go back to junior high school math. You take a diameter of the hole, you take the height of the plume on a non-windy condition, you take the frames from the camera, and you can calculate actual volume. Could be as much as 3 times greater. So if they're willing to say it's the largest in the country, if they're willing to say it's the greatest contribution to global warming, it's time they step up and say it could be well over 120,000 kilograms per hour. So that was what Aaron wanted reported. It's what we've done with actual scientific measurements, and it's rather significant. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Aaron, and we'll be back up to answer your questions here in a moment. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was really important to share with you, which of course we're going to do as we move along in this, any and new developments. You know, I get frustrated sometimes when you hear comments from the gas company and comments from agencies, and I don't want to sit up here and finger point in any one direction, because that doesn't really get us anywhere and it doesn't provide us the solution. But I get frustrated because I think that it creates confusion for the communities, and I believe people just want to know the truth. And that's why when we have information, I want to share it right away. In the absence of you being told exactly, whether it be how much gas is coming out, what's in that gas, may be hard for you to hear and could be scary for you to hear, but it's information that you need to know. I've been doing this for 20 plus years, and I have learned and I have seen, if you don't have information, and information that's truthful, you cannot protect what's most valuable and important to you, that is your health and the welfare of your families and your safety. So we're going to work diligently to begin to uncover and find out the truth for you. These cases can take time, and I want you to think of it like an onion. And the more we peel it back, the more we're going to begin to find out information and get it to you so you can better protect what is the most important thing to all of us. And so that's why I kind of pushed Bob out of line, and I wanted to share with you that this is a whole lot bigger than what I think any of us had anticipated, but yet might be something all of us dreaded. On a positive note, with some progress, I was glad to see that the governor issued a state of emergency today. I don't know what immediate effects you will see from that. There will be some, but most important, I think it was to let this community and all of you know that your voices are being heard. That is one thing that becomes very discouraging in these situations. And I hear it from the community members, and people email me, we're on the phone, through Facebook, but that your voice was heard. And it may have come a little slow, but it has come, and it will put all hands on deck, if you will, to get out to this site, and this leak needs to be stopped sooner than later. This has been an ongoing assault, certainly for Porter Ranch, for other communities as well. And remember, you have neighbors who are hurting in Granada Hills, in parts of Chatsworth, and it's really, really important that not only in Porter Ranch, but throughout all of the neighbors that are experiencing this in different communities, you stand united, and we continue to share information so you know how to respond. It is a good thing that the schools up in Porter Ranch were finally relocated. And all of the communities and the councils and people that have worked very hard to make this happen, everyone should feel very good about that. You're being proactive, and you're taking action, and you're pushing. We need to push to make things happen to protect the children. So that's a positive. And most importantly, we forget that when you become active, you become the change. For 22 years I've been doing this, and sometimes we don't get it until things are in our own backyard. And this area is very close to me. I live over in Agora Hills, and I feel like it's in my own backyard. And it has hit home. And the difference that your voice can make, and I know we all feel that way, that it falls on a deaf ear, but you are proof that what's happening is not going to fall on a deaf ear. You are going to protect your children and your homes and your health, and you're going to speak out, and we are going to move forward, and we want to make sure when you do return home, that you return home to a safe environment. So most important, I want you to know that you are making a difference by being here tonight and by being involved. And so thank you very much. And as I said, this is like peeling back an onion, and we're going to learn a lot of information. And it doesn't get better. It keeps getting worse. And I know many of you have read articles about the safety valve that was removed. I know many of you have heard that this has gone on not just since October 23rd, but maybe a week or two before. And now we're finding out from the gas company that they knew they had a critical well situation not just a year ago, but 5 years ago. And it is that lack of transparency and that deception that ultimately becomes the biggest problem of all for you, the community, who did not deserve this. And when Bob brought up that it now appears and preliminary data is clearly indicating to us, this once again is going to be way bigger than anything Southern Cal Gas has informed us. This is the single biggest environmental disaster and air disaster in my entire career that I have ever worked on. We call this the BP oil spill on land. And it has been a gross underestimate that you're looking at 150 million pounds of methane gas in a three-month period. And we're thinking we're going to have to double that if it takes till March. And now if it's three times that amount. What we have done, what this company, through its deception, has done, has set an entire state and a country back on its climate change issues and our air pollution. And it is, I know, very disturbing to every one of you. So my job going forward will be to make sure I'm at the community meetings, make sure that I'm working with Facebook, communities, councils, and the media. So as information comes in, we can get it to you as quickly as possible. So having said all of that, what's really important here and what I want to focus on is health impacts. When situations like this begin, and I've seen this in every community I deal with, and I experience it myself, there's a lot of confusion. And we may feel a certain way, or we actually may be sick, but we don't say anything. And there's a whole lot of reasons why we don't. A, first of all, we either have agencies or a company telling us it won't hurt you. And that becomes a big problem because some people do believe and want to believe, and frankly, so do I, that somebody wouldn't deliberately put our health at risk like that. And the states would come forward and protect us. And sometimes that information doesn't get out. And communities really need to begin to use that common sense set of skills that every single one of us has. I remember my work back in Hinckley and being with a representative that told me the green water and the two-headed frog that I was looking at was normal. And I'm not sure that that should be the standard. And we're taught, all of us are, that when you smell gas, what do? You run and turn it off. There could be danger of explosions. You could suffocate. Yet we're told to stay in this situation. It doesn't make sense. So as we're learning more and you're hearing more, please pay attention and do not be afraid to speak up and speak out about the health impacts that you're having. It's very important, not only for what's happening today, but for a vulnerable society, whether it be a pregnant woman or a child being born during this time that could have a defect, whether it be children, whether it be elderly, and say something. We need to begin to collect information so we can look at, and clearly they're stating this can't harm you. Well, oh yes, it can. You have to look at this population, and I want you to know, and you already know, I know you've all been to probably meeting after meeting, you are not alone, and that is important, and we don't speak up because maybe we think we are alone, maybe we think it's in our mind, or maybe we're worried, we're not the scientist or doctor, therefore I shouldn't say anything, or my neighbor is going to think, oh, well, it's for this reason, or someone else is going to say it's for a lawsuit. No. No. is for none of those reasons. It's because you're experiencing it, and it's in real time, and you should never be silenced about that. And I really understand. I've had my own exposures, and when I first went up to Porter Ranch, I couldn't believe it. I was in somebody's house, and within 10 minutes, I started feeling kind of dizzy. I'm like, okay, well, this is really weird because this has got to be in my mind. I'm not going to say anything. And the longer I stayed, I actually kind of felt shaky. I had that woozy feeling. I had a little bit of a headache. But I, too, was like, okay, so maybe I don't want to be an alarmist. But it was actually really happening to me. And it wasn't until I realized and I said to one of my coworkers, I feel funny. And they said, I feel funny. And when we get together and we can share those experiences, it's awareness, it helps us learn, it helps us understand, it helps us realize we're not crazy, even when we're being told this has no effect and you shouldn't be feeling this way. Every person I've talked to, thousands of people, are suffering rashes, dizziness, shakiness. They feel like they're in a fog, nosebleeds, massive headaches, children going home sick, reports now of animals losing their hair, animals vomiting, animals with diarrhea, people actually relocating to hotels to come home to find that their animals have passed. So the more we hear from you, and the more you talk to your neighbor, and I know it can be uncomfortable sharing these experiences, but I will tell you, it is the most important information we can have. You are actually the guinea pig in this situation, and it has been an ongoing assault. So if you're going to sit there and tell us that you're not having these symptoms, we're here to tell you we are, and how important. Thank you. How important it is that you document it. And I don't want you to be afraid. Who cares if somebody thinks you look silly? You, and only you, know what you were feeling and you were experiencing. When I got home after my first trip up to Porter Ranch, I didn't care. I went straight to my doctor. I had what they called a chemical-induced type of bronchitis. I immediately got put on steroids. I don't want anyone to delay if they're having respiratory problems or any health symptom like that. That is you and your family come first and foremost.
You are listening to a program by Global Voices for Justice, a nonprofit media organization. You can visit our website at globalvoicesforjustice.org. Or reach us at 310-283-0885. This is a town hall meeting about the Porter Ranch methane gas leak that was held in West Hills, California on January 6, 2016. The speakers were Aaron Brockovich, Bob Bocock, Robin Greenwald, and others.
And interestingly enough, tonight I met a doctor who is at the emergency clinic up in Porter Ranch. And where are you? I had my eye on you earlier. Come on up here. He was gracious enough to want to come up and talk to the community and address some of the concerns. And again, I think this is one of the most important things that I have to say to all of you tonight. So thank you very much for coming up. Saying hello.
Hello. Instead of, I'm not prepared to give a lecture. She asked me about 20 minutes ago to do this, so we put a little article. Oh, I'm Dr. Jeffrey Nordella. I'm the medical director at the Urgent Care Center in Porter Ranch. Went to UCLA Med School, trained at UCLA, did family medicine, emergency medicine, worked in trauma centers, and yes, for 30 years. So bottom line is I thought I would just open it up for a Q&A if anybody had any questions. There is an article in the Valley Voice that we did a very brief research telling you what the gas is, what organ systems it can affect, and symptomatology, and what you really should be doing to follow up. So if we don't catch it all here, maybe we can you can check that out. So I'll just open it up to any questions.
I've been smelling rotten eggs at the school since the beginning of the school year. So rotten eggs is a gas, right?
It is part of the gas, correct.
So is it possible that there's like another secondary leak because it's always in the same spot? Someone was trying to say it was like the wind blowing or... Anyways, my kids, I have a one-year-old, my baby's sick all the time, runny nose all the time. My five-year-old that goes to that school wakes up congested in the middle of the night, crying like all the time, wakes up and stuffed up. So is this all from the gas?
Well, a couple of really important things. First of all, the gas has two additions. It has one addition to it. It's called mercaptan, and mercaptan is a sulfur-containing compound. It smells. It smells like rotten eggs. They purposely put it in there to make it so if you smell it, you remove yourself from the environment. The second is that natural gas has a very small hydrogen sulfide, which is different than the mercaptan. The mercaptan is actually a chemical that we can all relate to because it's found in the odor of the skunk. So the hydrogen sulfide becomes the irritant to the respiratory tract. The respiratory tract starts at the nose, the mouth, the pharynx, the trachea, the bronchus, and down into the alveoli of the lung. And it can cause all kinds of damage. It actually mixes with chemicals on the skin and hence causes the rashes, the nosebleeds, the irritation, so forth and so on. So yes, it's a chemical irritant to the entire respiratory tract of which you can break out from the eyes, nose, mouth, cough, bronchospasms with wheezing and a cough. So it can affect that entire organ system.
If your kid went to that school, would you take them out?
Yeah.
This is a question for you. Yes, okay. And Aaron Brockish, if your kid, like I'm feeling like I should take my kid out of the school tomorrow, even though I've smelt this gas the whole time he's been at the school. This school has not been evacuated. It's in Chatsworth.
Oh, okay.
I'm just worried about, you know, my son goes to the school and I smelt the gas the whole year.
Well, that's fairly important to know.
It's just a personal question, like if your kid went to the school, would you take them out of the school?
Well, I would definitely be concerned. I'm always concerned. First and foremost is the safety of our children. We all know that, and I've already discussed that. I have a sulfur allergy, so being up in that situation can be very dangerous to me. There could be unknown allergies to children. If your child is beginning to exhibit symptoms and you have that concern, I think it's something that you as a parent should consider, but we'll also want to know, again, as we're now learning that the magnitude of this is way beyond what any of us have ever been told and reaches beyond where we have come in and known that there has been dangers. We need to learn that that's happening, and so hopefully going forward we can talk about that and look at that school situation and is it happening to other children and make necessary arrangements, if need be, as they did in Porter Ranch, to move children away from this environment. That is one thing that I know as we go forward, we're going to be doing some modeling so we can actually see the size of this, what would be called an air plume, and how far its reach is. But on a personal level, as a parent, you would have to answer that. And if your child is in any position where you feel they're being harmed or they're sick, that would be a decision that you would have to make with the school to remove them to a safer location. And we're here to assist going forward, should it become known that that school is in an air plume, to get the children to safety. I hope that answers your question. And you can email us at any time. And again, we'll monitor the situation. And we were just discussing, we're going to have another community meeting here in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
I hope that helps. Thank you.
Do you know what, since I'm the one that started tonight and kind of took everybody out of order, the doctor will be here. I do know that Camille, a meteorological expert, was going to come up who has to leave. So will you be, I know, gracious enough to answer some questions here shortly? And we'll go ahead and have Camille come up. And I don't see her.
Camille Sears is, we are working with her on our air modeling, and as the data that Bob talked about and the FLIR data and what we're learning about what's actually coming out of the well, Camille's going to explain to you
a little bit about what she knows already and how she's going to work with that data going forward. I promised Camille she would be able to get out of here a little early because she had to rearrange something to come here. So thank you.
Hello. My name's Camille Sears. I'm a meteorologist and I live in Ojai, and I appreciate the chance to come down here tonight. And I know that some of this information will be familiar to some of you. Some of this may be new information, but what I do as a meteorologist is that I work on what kind of concentrations are being experienced in the community. And we can do that two ways. We can measure it or we can model it. And I specialize in what we call air dispersion modeling, where we recreate or reconstruct what the exposures were. We've talked a lot about, well, we're getting new information, or the agencies or SoCalGas hasn't been straightforward with us in telling us everything that's going on at the well. Well, we can reconstruct that. It takes a little bit of time, but we can reconstruct all the exposures to everywhere in the community since the leak began. And that's the kind of work that I will be working on, or I am working on. So to start with, this is a SoCalGas picture of SS-25, a standard Cessnan well 25, where the leak occurred. And it's at an elevation of about 1,200 feet above Porter Ranch. Now, SoCalGas has said that, you know, things aren't so bad because the leak is 1,200 feet above, at elevation above the community, and the gas is lighter than air. Well, that's not really the whole story, because you can tell from the odors that we've experienced in Porter Ranch that gas is going downhill. We've also seen a lot of infrared photography, FLIR videos, we call them. And those videos often, most of the time, show the plume just running downhill like water. It just follows the plume and it goes right into the community. There's very little dilution. And so, unfortunately, that's a situation. It would be much better for the residents here in Chatsworth, Porter Ranch, Granada Hills, if the plumes were going up into the air, but they're not. Okay, we collected a lot of different types of meteorological data, and the most pertinent data set is collected at Holly Burnson Park. I don't know if anyone's ever walked around the park there. And there's one little cutout area. There's a grassy area, and there's a weather station there that's run by the California Department of Water Resources. And it's a high-quality meteorological data station, and so we're able to get that data every hour of every day before the leak began and since the leak began. And so we're tracking all those data. Now, the leak is to the north of Porter Ranch, as you all know, north of the communities of Chatsworth, Porter Ranch, and Granada Hills. So, but the way the communities are laid out, winds coming from the northwest, coming from that direction, and coming from the northeast, that direction, are the winds that affect the community. So we're really focusing on those winds. And unfortunately, as we'll show in a moment, The frequency of the wind, the amount of time that the wind comes from the northwest to northeast, those winds that directly transport the gas plume into the community, are very high. It's very frequent conditions. That this is where the Met Station is located, at Holly Burnson Park. It's a CIMIS, we call it a CIMIS. It's a California Irrigation Management Information System meteorological station. It's a good quality station. So we've looked at the meteorological data since when the reported leak began, which was in October 23rd, and we have data analyzed through Christmas. And what we find is that at night, from midnight to 6 in the morning, 90% of the time, the winds are coming from that direction. And I've double-checked this, because it seems like a phenomenal amount of time that the winds are blowing from the gas leak to the community. And it's a combination of our weather conditions that we've had this fall, and also the topography above, you know, the communities here, because the Oak Mountain creates these downslope winds almost constantly at night. So from 6 a.m. to noon, it's about 69% of the time the winds are coming from that direction. from noon to 6, 57% of the time. And from 6 p.m. to midnight, it's 86% of the time. Overall, 75% of the time, the winds are blowing the gas leak to some members of the community. Not every member of the community at the same time, but some members. Sometimes it's over in the Chatsworth side. Sometimes it's Port Orange. Sometimes it's a Granada hillside. And I think it's a very unfortunate situation that the lease is located where it is, because in this kind of conditions, it does the meteorological situation that you're in, the topography, the pressure gradients, and all that stuff will transport those gas leak emissions into the community a great percentage of the time, and that's the unfortunate reality. This is an overview of the gas wells at the SoCal gas leak, and then also shows where SS-25 is, which is the leaking well. And again, SS stands for Standard Cessnin. The next steps in what I'll be doing are to try and reconstruct what the real exposures are. As what Bob has talked about, some of the work that we've been doing is showing that the releases are probably 2 to 3 times greater than what the California Air Resources Board has been reporting. And we kind of came upon that idea because we were looking at the images of the plumes coming out of the ground, and we're going, no, wait a minute. If you look at the size of the plume and you look at the velocity it's coming out, and we know the weight of the natural gas per unit volume, and we did some rough calculations, and we said, no, those numbers aren't right. So we've had a team of experts coming out and taking our own measurements, and Bob can talk about this, I believe, in greater detail. And it's becoming quite clear that the state is underestimating the amount of the gas that's leaking. Now, I've been doing this kind of analysis for 35 years. I've done thousands of them since I started doing this in 1980. And I've never seen a release of this magnitude before. It's really unfortunate that it occurred, and I feel really bad because to report this, but it's not only a worst-case emission scenario, there's the great magnitude of emissions coming out, but it's also sort of a worst-case meteorological scenario, that these releases happen to blow from the gas leak site down into the community, you know, at night 90% of the time. And as we've seen, those gas emissions tend to flow downhill like water and go right into the communities, particularly around the canyon areas. And so we are working on trying to estimate what the real exposures are, and I believe we'll have a lot more information at the next public hearing in 3 weeks, where we should actually have some modeling results, you know, to show the community. And so I can stick around for a little bit here if anyone has any questions. But I wanted to share with you what we know now.
Coming up next is Robin Greenwald.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the law now a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about, before we get to the lawsuit, I want to talk to you about today's events. So we all know there's breaking news. Governor Brown declared an emergency at Aliso Canyon today. So I want to give you a little primer on what that says. One is that the governor's Office of Emergency Services is going to be involved, and that means they're going to set up an incident command structure, which is going to have an actual physical post on site to coordinate local, state, and federal activities. If those of you remember anything about the BP oil spill in 2010, so I worked on that case for 5 years. I spent 5 years living in New Orleans working on that. And this is sort of an example of what happened in the BP oil spill and why I think there was more transparency immediately with the BP oil spill. Because under the Oil Pollution Act, immediately upon that oil spill, the government assigned an admiral with the Coast Guard who was the on-scene coordinator. And from the very beginning of the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon, there was coordination headed by the on-scene coordinator from the Coast Guard, who was an admiral,
And she made sure that all the different pieces were working together. So finally, we have that here. So there'll be a physical post on site to coordinate the local, state, and federal activities. That's important. I think that will keep things moving in the right direction. There'll be sharing of information about the activities among the various entities that are working out there. And there'll be a public website with real-time information. Now, this is what's promised in the order. I mean, obviously, it's brand new, so we have to see how it plays out. Next is the Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources. They'll be investigating the leak. They'll be overseeing Southern Cal Gas's efforts to stop the leak. And they will put together a panel of experts from the federal labs to advise activities. And these are the finest scientists in the world. It's Lawrence Livermore, Lawrence Berkeley, and Sandia. And these are some of these federal labs that are part of the Department of Energy. And they really are probably the most brilliant scientists in the world. And so they're going to be working, advising the gas company and the state and local governments as they try to stop this leak. Okay, there's also part of this order is the Office of Environmental Health Hazards Assessment. And they're going to be reviewing the air quality measurements, and they're going to evaluate public health concerns. Then the California Public Utilities Commission, their role is going to be to do an investigation to determine the cause of the leak. For those of you who have read our lawsuit, it was one of the injunctive reliefs that we put in there, is that before any more activity happens at this gas facility, they need to understand the root cause of why this happened and to understand how to prevent it from ever happening in the future. Okay, they want part of this organ. This commission is also going to determine the cost of fixing the leak, and they're going to provide independent technical analysis of the well failure. Then there's the California Air Resources Board, which actually has been out there. It's been giving some information along the way. They're going to be measuring the leak rate and the total methane being released, and they're going to be monitoring. But the order doesn't say what type of monitoring that's going to be. I'm assuming that the next orders down the road will give that kind of information. The Division of Occupational Safety and Health will be ensuring the safety of on-site workers, and the California Energy Commission will be coordinating with the California Public Utilities Commission to maintain energy reliability during the incident, because that's going to be important. This is the facility that supplies gas all throughout California, from, I think, Santa Barbara down to the Mexican border and all the way to the Arizona border. And the governor told the gas company last month, apparently in a letter, that the response of the gas company to date has been, quote, insufficient. So I want to tell you, these are the key parts of the order: to stop the leak, to protect public health and safety, to ensure accountability, and to strengthen oversight. So those is what the governor put as the four parts of the key order. And again, it just came out today, and we'll see how that proceeds. But I'm hopeful that this will make a huge change and that things will be much more transparent for those of you who live in the community. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. I'm not going to spend much time on this because we have a doctor here tonight and he's going to come back up. But these are the common complaints that we hear from clients over and over and over again. It's not an exhaustive list. If you're experiencing things that are not on that list, it does not mean it's not from the gas leak. It's nosebleeds, nausea, skin rashes, fatigue, eye irritation, headaches, dizziness, respiratory distress, skin rashes, I have it twice, sorry, and gastrointestinal issues. Again, there's so many other experiences people are having. People talk about lightheadedness. They have a hard time concentrating. They feel loopy. They feel like they're almost intoxicated. So there's a lot of experiences that people are having. I mean, frankly, if you're feeling something that you didn't feel before, and you've been feeling it intensely since the fall, and you didn't feel it before, and it's something that's acute, and it comes and goes, and particularly if it leaves when you leave the community, that is probably from the gas leak. Again, I'm not a doctor. We have someone here who knows a whole lot more than I do about that. But I will say that what we hear from clients repeatedly is when they leave the area, it takes about a day that the symptoms start to diminish. And if they're gone for a week, their symptoms almost go away. They don't 100% go away if they've been experiencing it for a while, but they feel like a new lease on life when they've been gone for a week. They come back and everything falls apart again.
During the blowout, the initial blowout, those are old oil wells. Droplets probably came out.
Right.
Oil droplets. The gas company said they would pay people to kick up these droplets. As we know, crude oil contains benzene and a lot of hydrocarbons that when the sun bakes those droplets, those go into the air, they adhere to dust particles, and they blow up wind, and those are long-term, very dangerous effects.
Correct.
How are we going to address those?
So part of what we're doing right now is taking measurements to find out if we can actually quantify the benzene concentrations and also radon. So we're looking into that. In addition, we're asking for medical monitoring in our case. Because as you know, it seems to me you seem quite knowledgeable about this. Benzene, long-term exposure, you're not going to find out about that tomorrow or 6 months from now or a year from now. Benzene exposure at certain levels over certain periods of time. Again, the doctor can talk more about this than I can probably. But I have done a lot of medical monitoring cases. That's what's called a latent injury, and you're not going to know about that now. And what medical monitoring does is it sets up a program whereby a doctor, a physician who understands latency and long-term illnesses such as cancer, can do initial screenings and then follow people for however long a doctor believes one needs to be followed to make sure that if someone does have a long-term impact, there's early detection and there's an ability to treat. And so that's part of what we request in our lawsuit is that type of medical monitoring.
You've been listening to a program by Global Voices for Justice from the town hall meeting about the Porter Ranch methane gas leak that was held in West Hills, California on January 6, 2016. The speakers were Aaron Brockovich, Bob Bocock, Robin Greenwald, and others. I'm Jeannie Kyle. Global Voices for Justice is a nonprofit media organization in Los Angeles, California. To learn more about us or obtain copies of this or other programs, please visit our website at globalvoicesforjustice.org or call us at 310-283-0885. That's 310-283-0885. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. It is 12 of the noon. Stay tuned for Moving On with your host, the inimitable, the one and only, and what a gal.
Thanks, Sam.
Lori Sonnenfeld, right after these important announcements.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
Hi, I'm Shahid Hamid. With each passing year, the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. become more and more necessary to remember. With this in mind, the World Arts Foundation and KBOO Foundation